O Orient, splendor of eternal light and sun of justice, come and enlighten them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. This is our O Antiphon today as we continue our novena in preparation for Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come and enlighten them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Well, children, the world didn't end after all. There were some sillies who thought the world was going to end today, but they were wrong, because it's very difficult to schedule the end of the world. Only Almighty God knows when the world will come to an end. But, interestingly enough, and it doesn't usually happen, winter came exactly on schedule today. Yes, today is the winter solstice. That means it's the shortest day and the longest night of the year by our reckoning, and it is the first day of winter. And sure enough, when you poked your little noses out this morning, you saw how cold it was, and Puccini and Caravaggio have put on their winter coats to stay toasty warm outside at night, and there's snow blowing around, and you can't miss the fact that it's winter. Today, in our Christmas novena, the Church, in her beautiful prayer of the Vespers, is asking our Lord, who's coming, to send the Holy Ghost especially, to enlighten them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's the prayer of Zachary. Who's Zachary? Saint Zachary is the father of Saint John the Baptist. And I thought I would say a word about him today because he is one of the two doubters we should consider on this day of darkness, where we're asking our Lord, the light of the world, to come down to us. He was a very holy man. He kept all the rules. He was just. He followed the commandments. That's what sacred scripture says about him. But at the same time, he was a blinded old Jew, a priest of the old law, of the Old Testament. He didn't see because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. You might say the Holy Ghost is your very best vitamin C. If you take some of the Holy Ghost every day and you pray to him, then you can see things from God's way. He didn't see the light. Maybe he hadn't used his eyes to look at the light for a long, long time, and so he lost his sight from not using it. And when great Gabriel, the archangel, came to Zachary in the evening, at Vespers, at the hour of incense, and told him that he and his wife, Saint Elizabeth, were going to have a baby in their old age, he doubted. He didn't see it, and he was imprudent enough to express his doubt even in words. And because he doubted, Gabriel struck him silent for 9 months, until his son, John the Baptist, would be born and named by him, just as God said he should be named, not Zachary, but John. Do you remember John the Baptist? We have his feast day every year, 6 months from now, seven actually, the summer solstice, which is quite different from the winter. That's when the days are at their very longest. That's when St. John the Baptist was born and named by his father, just as God wanted him to. Well, he was punished, and he was put into silence. And unlike some children who, when they get punished, you have to sit out in the hallway, you know, for talking out of turn, he didn't pout or be angry or something, or just be embarrassed about it. No, no. He put his silence to good use. He prayed and he listened for God, so that when his baby was born, A son came, as Gabriel said, there would be a son. He named him John the Baptist, and he was ready to go. And he's the one who says that John the Baptist, his son, would get everybody ready for the coming of him who would enlighten them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's all in St. Luke's Gospel. Zachary, though, for our purposes today, on this dark, short day, with its long, dark, cold night, Zachary was out in the cold and the dark. He was a doubter. Who's our other doubter today? Well, in the Gospel of today's Mass, we tell the main story about St. Thomas the Apostle. Scripture calls him Thomas the Twin. I don't think anybody knows what the name of his twin brother was, but we do know that he is the doubter. He didn't doubt, as Zachary did, just for a moment. He doubted for a week, for 8 days. He wasn't a priest of the Old Testament. He was a priest and a bishop of the New. He had the Holy Ghost. He didn't have any excuse. But he just saw things his own way and was a little on the stubborn side. Did you ever meet anybody who was stubborn? Did you look in the mirror this morning? You may have met yourself, because most of us tend to be a little bit stubborn, even when God tells us what to do. He doubted. He wouldn't. He said, no. Mm-mm. Not unless I see, I won't believe. So what happens in the Gospel today for St. John, for St. Thomas on his feast day? Well, our blessed Savior, it's the evening, the hour of Vespers. The apostles are praying in the upper room with the doors locked tight. It's a week after Easter, and our Lord goes right through the door. You can do that if you have a glorified body. And he appears in the midst of them, and just like a bishop saying Mass, he says, Pax vobis, peace be to you. But Thomas, who was not there a week before, he was there that night, but he didn't feel very peaceful right about then. He felt pretty guilty. And when he saw our Lord, and then he heard our Lord calling his name and saying, Thomas, come here. It would be a million times worse than if you were called to the front of the classroom by your teacher and you knew you were in trouble. He thought, gulp, now I'm in trouble. I didn't believe. And so he had his punishment. He had it coming to him. And our Lord said to him, in every word our Lord said, may Thomas melt lower and lower and lower, and felt really, really bad. And he said, Thomas, take your finger here. Put it into my wound. Take your hand. Put it in my side. And be not faithless. Don't doubt anymore, but believe. Of course, Thomas didn't put the finger there or his hand in it. Our Lord was just illustrating the point. What did Thomas do? He knelt down faster than an altar boy at the Sanctus bell. He knelt down and he cried out, just as you and I will do today at Mass, children, at the elevation, my Lord and my God. Now he believed. And with his belief, the Holy Ghost let him do that. Why, then, he was filled with joy. And he knew that our Lord wouldn't hold a grudge, and that our Lord did indeed forgive his lack of faith he talked too much. Zachary kept silent. He was smart. Not that he had any choice. But Thomas was bragging about, well, I'm not going to believe unless I can see. Oh, we shouldn't talk too much. We should learn to be quiet. And certainly not brag about our own silly thoughts. But Thomas had his punishment in an instant, and then he had his reward for the rest of his life. And you know what Thomas did on his own, inspired by the Holy Ghost, to make up for it? He came all the way over here. He came to America to preach the gospel. He preached the gospel everywhere. Remember, he was in Alaska, and he was in Mexico, and he was in South America, and near Patagonia, the very lowest part of southern South America. He went everywhere around America, from the Eskimos to the Patagonians, down in the south of the South American continent, to make up for for his lack of faith, because now he wanted everyone to believe and have just that same joy. Well, let's ask these two doubter saints, Saint Zachary and Saint Thomas the Apostle, to give us a good, strong faith, a faith that's not going to doubt, that's not going to ask too many questions, that will just say, Lord, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me, and I believe. And that leaves us free with the Blessed Mother in today's last gospel, the second joyful mystery of the Visitation, to rejoice. And let's remember that, shall we? Every time we quickly kneel down at the Sanctus and we look up when Father lifts up the Sacred Host, let's say with Thomas, and let's tell our Lord, Lord, when I say those words, I not only adore, but I also believe. My Lord and my God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.